Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine, and thanks for tuning back into the Mobility Management Podcast. I'm once again welcoming our friends from NCART, Executive Director Don Clayback, Associate Director McKay Lee, and they are here to update us on complex rehab policy issues as we start the summer. So Don and McKay, welcome back. Thank you once again for joining me.
Well, thank you, Lori. We're very happy, as always, to be here and catch up, so we appreciate the opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. It's always a pleasure, Lori, so thanks for having us.
Summer is already heating up. Let's start with a subject that has been on our to-do list, frankly, for a long time, and that's CMS's reconsideration for Medicare funding to cover power seat elevation and standing functions on power wheelchairs. So Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services don't currently cover seat elevation and standing for their Medicare beneficiaries. I know that NCART and the ITEM Coalition have been working for a while on this, and we've been waiting a little bit longer than expected for CMS's response. But the good news is that recently, Senators Blackburn, Casey, and Duckworth met with CMS Administrator Brooks LaSure, and the administrator now says we'll get a public comment period by August. So Donna McKay, what can you tell us about the industry's next steps once that public comment period opens?
Yes, as you said, Lori, we've certainly been working on this a long time, and thankfully through the ITEM Coalition and some of the other organizations that have been working on this, we actually, you can go back to November 2020 when our application was officially accepted as complete. So certainly there's been, you know, with COVID-19 challenges and other things, there's been a lot going on, but really a decision is long overdue. And the good news is, as you said, we do expect to see something no later than August. And again, thanks to Senators Duckworth, Casey, and Blackburn. And also we had Congressman Jim Langevin, who's been our lead in the House, also had a conversation with the administrator. So thanks to all that, we did get that commitment. So where we're at now is once that opens up, and we'll certainly publicize that, well, both wisely and widely, and we'll be updating you immediately when that's available. We do have a website that's been set up through the ITEM Coalition work group, and that'll be a central point where people can go and get some basic information on the public comment period and also some guidelines on responding to CMS's request for comments. It'll be very important we get as many broad-ranging letters and emails of support during that 30-day period. We know 30 days can go quickly, especially during the summer months, so we'll be helping people as best we can and encouraging both individuals but also organizations, whether they be clinical organizations, disability groups, industry organizations. The more people that weigh in with messages of support, the better. And that'll take place during a 30-day period. Then that will end, and CMS then takes the comments and they review, digest, analyze those. And the next step after their review will be they'll publish a decision on the coverage, and there'll be an opportunity for comment on that. So there's really going to be two comment periods, but we're focused on the first one, which frankly can be the most influential, which is the one that, you know, will happen sometime between now and August based on what we are being told.
Okay, and Don, are you looking for comments when the comment period opens? Are you looking for people to comment based on their own experiences or knowledge base? So clinicians could comment on the functional improvements and gains that could be had with seat elevation and standing. Consumers could talk about what a difference that makes to them. Caregivers could talk about how transfers are a little bit easier now, et cetera, et cetera. Is that kind of what you're going to suggest to us?
Exactly, Lori. And you hit the high points. One of the main messages is we need to keep in mind the perspective that Medicare is asking for. They're really focused on the medical benefits and also the functional benefits within the home. And you touched on many of those: transfers, activities of daily living, other medical benefits that can be highlighted, both from a personal perspective for people that maybe have looked at this equipment, or if they're one of the lucky few that have this equipment already. But certainly the clinicians can speak very specifically to those things. But that'll be the idea, is to share those comments, but to keep in mind, to focus on the Medicare criteria, which is How is there a medical benefit? How does it assist in someone performing the activities of daily living within the home? Those will be the kind of core comments that CMS will be looking for.
Okay, and you just said in the home. So that's really obviously what Medicare funds is, in the home is their focus at this point. So we really want to talk about especially those bathing and feeding and grooming, those sorts of activities, even though we know, for instance, that power seat elevation and standing are wonderful to have in the community, we really want to focus on what Medicare looks at as those activities that would qualify for eligibility, right?
Exactly. And it's an important point, because I think for all of us that are in this arena, you know, certainly when we talk about seat elevation and power standing, there is a multitude of benefits in all sorts of dimensions. But frankly, the CMS is only going to be interested in those things that we just talked about. And I will just make a quick statement on in the home. We certainly know the problems with that, and we're actually working on getting that resolved. I was just at the United's final roll on Capitol Hill last week, and the in the home is something that they're taking up. So I just want to put that as like a PS. We're not going to get into in the home during this discussion period, but we do need to recognize that for now, that's the environment that CMS is looking at. So we want to focus our comments on that environment.
We need to remember to speak their language a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Next, I wanted to talk about summer events. We have a couple of events coming up, a virtual fly-in September 14th, and we also have CRT Awareness Week this summer. I'll start with the fly-in. Last year, because of the pandemic, this was a virtual event, which meant participants could meet with their members of Congress, senators, staffers, without needing to travel to DC. So there was no airfare, no hotel stays, much less time out of the office. And as somebody from California, I have to say, I really appreciated participating without having to fly all day to Washington, because that's a full day of travel there and back for me. So the virtual format saved me a lot of time. I really enjoyed it. And this year, you're removing yet another barrier in that there will be no fee to register or participate, but NCART will still book all our appointments for us, and you'll provide us the training that we need to feel comfortable, to know our talking points, and to speak with confidence and accuracy while we're doing these video conferences. So what else can you tell me about the fly-in that's coming up?
Well, first of all, Lori, I'm so happy to hear that last year was a good experience for you. As you know, we work really hard to make sure that all of our attendees are prepared. And like you said, they feel confident going into their meetings. And then also that those meetings go smoothly with all of the, you know, in a virtual format, you've got the links and the meeting rooms and the virtual documentation that needs to be shared. So making sure that our attendees are really ready to go and feel confident as they join those meetings and have those conversations with Congress. So it's always nice to hear positive feedback from our attendees, because it helps us know on the planning side of things that we're doing something right. But obviously, you know me well enough at this point, most people know me well enough at this point, to know that this event, the fly-in, is my absolute favorite event of the year. So I love being able to share more about it, and I am always encouraging people to get involved in it. Our industry has seen time and time again what an important role Congress plays in supporting the policies that safeguard access to complex rehab technology. So I don't think I'm being dramatic when I say that it is truly critical for our community, which is, you know, individuals who use the equipment, the clinicians, caregivers, family members, suppliers, manufacturers, other advocacy organizations. It is so critical to keep our legislators educated on the issues that are negatively impacting access. Because without constituents coming together to share the challenges that are being faced and what solutions are needed, Congress isn't going to understand what they need to do, what action steps they need to take in order to help maximize the independence and protect the health of the individuals who depend on CRT. So that is exactly why NCART and NARTS partner every year to host this event, to connect CRT advocates with their representatives and their senators. And connection, that word, happens to be the theme of this year's fly-in. So you'll see and hear us referencing that a lot as we work our way towards September. We chose to focus on the word connection because that's exactly what we're doing with this event. We are reinforcing the connection between all of the groups of people in our community that I just mentioned a minute ago, and also keeping our connection to the decision makers in Congress strong as well. So it's all about maintaining that connection, building that connection. So our theme this year is Make the Connection. As you said, the event is being held virtually on September 14th, which means that once again, advocates can deliver the CRT message right from their homes, their offices, or any location that has an internet connection, really. We also wanted, like you said, to remove all of the other barriers or as many barriers as possible to getting folks to register. So we made the decision to invite advocates to participate at no cost this year. Registration is completely free. So massive thanks to our generous sponsors of this event, because without their support, there's absolutely no way we would have been able to do that. So we are so grateful that they made that possible. For more information, we do have an event website. It's www.crtaccess.com. So folks can visit that site to learn more, see what the schedule of prep and practice webinars looks like so that they can know when we're going to be helping prepare everybody for their meetings, and they'll have an opportunity to meet others from their state that they'll be in meetings with. We don't send anyone to an appointment alone. We make sure that you've got a group, a team of other advocates from your state that you'll be able to participate in meetings with. So it's a team effort for sure. But again, the website is going to have a lot of other information, the things we're asking Congress for this year, which of course will include things like supporting Medicare coverage for seat elevation and standing. And last but not least, certainly not least, folks can get registered right from that website. We would truly be thrilled, Lori, to have everyone join us to make the connection this year, to be a part of this event and deliver important messages to Congress to help protect access. So,
and I just wanted to put in another plug. I did participate last year, as I mentioned. And I know that video conferencing, Zooming, Teams, whatever the platform is, even a couple of years into the pandemic, sometimes these things can get sketchy. I mean, sometimes, you know, people can't join, or it's hard to share your screen. I have to say, we had zero problems last year with the virtual fly-in. The appointments were made for us. We literally connected, you know, showed up, we practiced, we met each other. It was not, as you said, being thrown in alone to these meetings and having to work the Zoom and having to share the document. It was not like that. It basically was just we showed up and shared our perspectives, and we kind of worked out during the practice who was going to say what based on what your job was. So the consumers opened it up, they talked about their experiences, and the clinician talked, and then the supplier talked. And it really, we got into a rhythm that made it really, really easy and really fun. And I don't know that the fun component is talked about a lot typically in situations like this, but it really was fun. I was wanting to invite everyone over for Thanksgiving dinner afterward because we had such a blast. It really is easy. It is really as unscary as you can imagine. So what if you're scared, if you're hesitant, if you don't think you're going to know what to say, look, I'm just an editor. I'm an English major. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, but it was so easy. And we heard back, we got responses afterwards. So that was very gratifying. I would just encourage everyone to consider it. Somebody from your team, if not everyone can make it, somebody at least from your team, maybe somebody who enjoys speaking to people and can kind of talk for all of you. Big plug for that. Okay. Next, CRT Awareness Week, which was also a blast last year. You had different days that were really focusing on different stakeholders in CRT, like the manufacturers and the consumers and the caregivers and the clinicians. And then you had individual organizations within those groups actually taking over and doing some of their social activities, learning and educational activities. So much fun. What do you have planned for this year?
Well, Lori, we found that the format of asking people to take one day and find one way to get involved in CRT Awareness Week works really, really well. Like you said, people had a lot of fun. We doubled our participation from the year before. So we're going to stick with that plan again this year. If it isn't broken, don't fix it, right? So as we've shared before, CRT Awareness Week is 5 days every year specifically dedicated to educating others about what complex rehab technology is all about. So like the fly-in, it's another way for advocates to underscore the importance of access and provide information about CRT, but instead of sharing it with Congress, they're sharing it with their own friends, their own family, and their communities. So this week, CRT Awareness Week is August 15th through the 19th. I've already got some information on the NCART website about when and how folks can get involved. It's front and center on the homepage right now, so people can go to ncart.us and get a little more information there. But also in the next couple of weeks, we will have a whole page on the website where people can find downloadable graphics, social media posts that can be copied and pasted, videos that can be shared. This year, we're going to have some virtual in-services that are available from the industry. And so we'll have links to those so that people can join and learn more about products and services. So we'll have all of that coming in the next couple of weeks. We're really very excited about CRT Awareness Week for this year. And of course, we will be sharing details in the NCART newsletter each month on our social media pages and during the CRT industry webinar, shameless plug, on June 30th. So all of the links for all of those resources can be found right on the NCART site as well. So last but not least, if always, if folks have questions, they are more than welcome to email Don or myself. Our email addresses, again, are on the website, so folks can reach out anytime to get more information about that.
That's nice timing for CRT Awareness Week, probably coinciding with our public comment period.
Fingers crossed.
So that can be something we can talk about. And CRT Awareness Week, August 15th through the 19th. More information now on the ncart.us website, and also the virtual fly-in is open for registration as well. Wonderful. Sounds like a fun summer. And Don, with our remaining time, I wanted to address your upcoming departure from NCART. After 13 years as executive director, you'll be stepping down from that position in September. So first, I wanted to publicly thank you for all of your years of service to NCART, to the industry, its professionals, and of course, to the consumers and families whose lives you have affected. And I wanted to thank you personally for supporting mobility management for the countless times over the years, Don, that you have graciously and patiently come to the phone, come onto Microsoft Teams and answered my questions and taught me and given interviews just like this one. So there have been a number of times when something has happened, I've heard from my rep or something, that I've thought to myself, Don would be so proud of this moment. It's because of Don that this is happening. So first of all, I wanted to say thank you. Second of all, I wanted to ask if you had any thoughts that you'd like to share about what you've done with NCART and maybe what has made you the proudest of your tenure there. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, that's great, Lori, and thank you very much for those kind words. It has been enjoyable to work with you over these years, and I'm very grateful for that, and really all the folks that work within our collective CRT community, the industry, the clinicians, consumers, caregivers, and as you and McKay both know, I mean, it's just an amazing arena to work within because we can really have a significant influence when we all come together, and that's probably, as I think of the last 13 years, I think some of the big things we've been able to accomplish, and again, with NCART taking the lead on some of these things, but certainly it's been a community effort, which really has been our success, and I think will continue to be the foundation of success as we go forward. But I think it's the first thing was really creating that CRT identity. You know, what is complex rehab technology? You know, doing that within Congress, within state legislatures, within Medicaid policymakers. You know, how is CRT different? How is it unique? What needs to be recognized when it comes to policies and coverage and payment? I think those are some global big things. And certainly we've had, I think, success within Congress, getting our items exempted from competitive bidding and actually having to defend that several times over the last 5 years, where we've been able to get Congress to weigh in, whether it's through letters or ultimately in actual legislative bills that they passed, I think was a proud moment for our collective community, because it's not easy to get things passed in Congress. And as you and McKay both know, and all of our advocates know, it takes repeated phone calls and persistence. And thankfully, we've done that. And I think all those things kind of come together in things that I would be proud of being part of. But certainly thank everybody for, you know, all the contributions people have made, and certainly encourage them to do that going forward. While I'll be leaving NCART, I plan on staying involved probably in some capacity. So I'm not retiring, but certainly hope to stay engaged in some arena. But I really appreciate your comments and appreciate all the work people do on behalf of CRT Access. So continued good luck, and certainly we've got some things we can be proud of.
I think it's a good point that one of your jobs at the very start, and an ongoing job, is to explain what complex rehab even is. You know, not all industries have to explain that. Not everyone who talks to Congress has to explain, well, I'm in the automotive industry, and a car is, I mean, a lot of industries already have that advantage. Complex rehab does not, being a niche industry, a very small industry. But I can say personally from what I've seen that when I started in 2002 and attended some events early on, basically nobody knew what rehab was. I mean, that was a pretty standard thing, that nobody in Congress knew what rehab was, with a very few exceptions. And now, last year's virtual fly-in, going to them, they all pretty much knew what it was. And they're not even confusing it with durable medical equipment anymore. I mean, they understand it's two separate things. So if nothing else, I think that that was just a huge lift. That was just a huge advantage. If you go into a meeting now and people understand who the end users are, that is something that we cannot take for granted, because that just was not the case, certainly 20 years ago when I got started in this industry. So thank you very much. Really appreciate your time. And thank you to both of you, Don and McKay, for being so faithful, coming back basically once a quarter to get us revved up and updated on what's coming up. I know advocacy and policy is not an easy job to have day in and day out, and always asking people to come together can be difficult. So I really appreciate your always seeming so cheerful when I say, hey, can you podcast with me again? Thanks so much for your time.
Well, Lori, that's great. And we're so happy to be here. And just to pick up on what you were saying, I think, you know, when we look at kind of NCART's focus, we usually kind of use three words to tell people what we do. We educate, we advocate, and we collaborate. And really, education is first for a reason, because as you said, people need to know what CRT is all about. And we've seen that time and time again. So we want to continue to do that, as you said. And I think these podcasts are a great opportunity for you, and through mobility management, helping to educate even within the industry. We all need to be kept abreast of things. And if we can be kept informed as advocates, it enables us to kind of share the message with policymakers. So thank you again for all you do personally and for mobility management. So I'll let McKay have the last word.
I couldn't say any of that any better than you just did, Don. So I will let your word stand. Lori, thanks again so much for having us back. Like Don said, we love being here and look forward to keeping those lines of communication open, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, we have a busy summer coming up. I feel like it's just heating up now, and we have some events to look forward to. So thank you very much, Don Clayback and McKay Lee from NCART. Mobility Management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher, something that McKay and Don probably could recite verbatim in their sleep by now. They've been on this podcast so much. The best way to make sure you don't miss any episodes is to subscribe. And you can also go to our website, mobilitymgmt.com, and browse our podcast library or listen to episodes there. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be back again soon.